golfj.com.
Hey, good evening, everybody. Welcome to another episode of the Golf J podcast on FingerLakes1.tv. I'm Jim Sinacropi alongside Rhett Ticone and Doug Brown here inside the FingerLakes1.com studios in Seneca Falls, New York on Monday, September 12th, 2016. And tonight we're going to run down the PGA playoffs after Dustin Johnson's win at the BMW Championship. We'll talk about Davis Love III's three captain's choices announced today for the Ryder Cup coming up at the end of September. And, of course, a whole lot more.
A little controversy this morning.
So
maybe.
Yeah, I think the picks were slightly controversial. Not necessarily surprising or shocking, but definitely we'll have stuff to talk about. But first, Dustin Johnson has separated himself from Jason Day or any other contenders for Player of the Year and has vaulted to the top of the FedEx Cup standings with his win at the BMW. It's he's clearly the player of the year at this point.
I agree.
He could play himself out of it.
Right.
Or Jason Day might be Jason Day the only one who could overcome Johnson for player of the year at this point?
At this point, he has three wins. The only other one I could see being close if he won the Tour Championship in the FedEx would be Scott. He has two wins. And he has some bunch of top tens, but
I got to throw Patrick Reed into that conversation a little bit. He's number two right now in the FedEx, if he won next week. But I still lean toward Dustin.
Major.
Dustin won a major, and he won that World Golf Championship and the BMW this past week.
Yeah. It's tough to be Player of the Year without winning a major, right?
Yeah.
So
as long as he's got other victories now, I think it's tough to not to vote for Dustin Johnson.
Yeah, I mean, he's... He's had, 14 starts or 14 top tens in 21 tournaments, three wins. I mean, even with Jason Day going ahead of him in wins, if he won this weekend, still he's not quite as consistent throughout the course of the year.
Right.
It's player of the year. It's not player of the month. Right. So that major, I mean, it's the U.S. Open too.
Right.
I mean, not that either the four majors are easier per se, but, it's the Open or U.S. Open. It's the toughest conditions, and the score was closer than it should have been based on the officiating. But he ran away with that thing.
He sure did.
So it wasn't like that was closer. And Jason Day was right there with him. You know, kind of like last year in the PGA, Jordan Spieth was right there. Day, put it away at the end. But Spieth was right there in that one. He was right there. Right. At the British, he won the other two. So he was far and away the best player last year, but
he's had the best season with 14 top tens and 21 starts. That's pretty good right there.
Yeah.
Three wins, BMW Championship win. Clearly, I think vaults him to the front of the conversation. He was in the conversation as it was. This was Johnson's first season with more than two wins. He'd won in all nine of his PGA Tour seasons, but 2010 is the only other season in which he had multiple wins. The BMW was Johnson's 12th PGA Tour win, came in his 200th tour start at the age of 32 years, 2 months, 20 days. And practice, I guess, makes perfect because the main thing that Dustin Johnson did was work on his wedge game, and he's one of the best wedge players on the tour right now, and it's paid dividends. He's above average putter, slightly above average putter, but one of the best drivers of the golf ball and now one of the best wedge players. And so if you hit the driver that long and you can hit your wedges, good luck, losing, because it's not going to happen.
Right.
So.
Well, he's also, since 2008, there's only one guy that's got more wins than him. He's got 12 and Tiger has 18. So, there's nobody else above him on the PGA Tour other than one guy. So that's a pretty consistent.
He's been consistent for presence. Years because he's got a win in how many years in a row? He's won a tournament
since 2008, I think.
We tend to forget that consistency because he's been brilliant and then missing in action for a while for a few reasons. But he obviously analyzed his game and realized if he worked on that short game, he could be a cut above because he's got the power. And you don't win golf tournaments with the power. Necessarily, but if you're a good wedge player and you're hitting it that far,
huge advantage
makes life easier.
Also of note, this was the first week that DJ used a TaylorMade Spider putter, and it worked well. He was second in the field in strokes gained putting, entered the week ranked 43rd. This was Johnson's third best putting performance of his career at tournaments using ShotLink. So he switched to the same putter as Jason Day.
Same putter, yes.
And he obviously liked it.
He's got it figured out right now. Hopefully he carries that along. But whatever happens in the Tour Championship, but more importantly, a couple weeks, carries that into the Ryder Cup. So he's got great momentum for the next two big events.
I would assume the sales interest in that putter right now with Taylor made it pretty high.
Bob LaPrade has one, doesn't he?
Hey, had to wait he for it. We had to wait a few months for it.
Yeah.
He ordered it back in the spring, and it came in August, I think. He finally got it.
Seemed like he just got it recently. Yeah.
One of those they're holding them back, let Jason Day use it for a while, and then, we had a back order to hold it back, and hold it back, make more people buy it, and they let it go.
Well, let's jump right ahead to the Tour Championship. It's not coming up this weekend. It's coming up next weekend. So we got a rare break in the action on the PGA Tour, one of only, if you take out the month of December, it's really the only other break that they have except for the 2 weeks after the Tour Championship, which one of them is Ryder Cup week.
Right.
So, you know, a rare week off, 30 guys in the field at the Tour Championship, which makes the event unique. And I got to tell you, you know, the FedEx Cup playoffs and the PGA Tour playoffs are once again producing a potential for a good champion. I mean, Dustin Johnson, number one now in the rankings. Patrick Reed, two. Adam Scott, three. Jason Day, four. Paul Casey comes out of nowhere up to fifth. So those are guys in the top five that if they win the Tour Championship, they win the FedEx Cup. I think it would be a little – I think you need one of those top four. I think if Casey wins it, it's tough to accept as your champion of the year, you know, on the tour. But I think any of the other four, maybe even though Patrick Reed's number two, I think, you know, with the wins that Johnson, Scott, and Day have accumulated this year, any of those guys I'd be comfortable with. But really, you know, DJ having the only major of the bunch.
Yeah, and Jimmy Walker maybe jumping in there if he had somehow got all those numbers to work right. With his being in 10th, he's got a ways to go. He's got to have a lot happen.
Well, let's say you're
Jimmy saying it was one of the first five. If they win, it doesn't matter about anybody else. They automatically get the bonus.
They control their own destiny. So, and Rory,
Jimmy Walker needs help, for example.
No, that's what I mean. Yeah.
I can tell you exactly what Jimmy Walker needs. At 10th, he needs to win, and then number one must finish fifth or worse. Number two must finish in a three-way tie for third or worse. Number three must finish in a three-way tie for second or worse. Number four must finish tied for second or worse. And number five must finish second or worse. So this is the problem with this thing is that it's, you know, most playoffs you go out there and the guy that scores more points wins and advances. But here you really, unless you're one of those top five, you really need to keep an eye on what the field's doing. And it can change at the last minute. So Jimmy Walker could come out in the final round and shoot a 62 and be the clubhouse leader by three, and he might lose the FedEx Cup because, for instance, Paul Casey might, make a putt coming in that gets him second place.
Right. I think it would be cool if they took, after this week, if they took the top 10 in a one two-round, not four rounds because there's only 10 guys, but and had a shootout type of event where anybody in that top 10 could win the $10 million. So you have the playoffs all the way through, and then it's still the final. I don't know. Maybe add another week. Just gives us another week to talk about golf. But that way anybody in the top 10 could win or change the rules somehow so anybody in the top 10 could win. Things would be cool if, you know, not that I'm a huge fan of his or not, but Jimmy Walker being able to win it and come from 10th back. I think NASCAR does it something like that, where they have the top 10 are the only ones that have a chance to win in the last five or six races. Just a little more weight, like you're saying, Jim, a little more weight on, you know, all those guys in the top 10 and not having to have so much go right for Jimmy Walker to take it home.
Match play, you know, to me, would be an exciting way to decide this.
Yeah.
But, you know, it even golf or auto racing is not made to come down to the end and have somebody win the final event and be the champ. It just isn't. It's more, there's four majors during the tournament, $10 million or not, any of these guys would trade a major win for a tour championship, I think, $10 million or not.
I agree with you.
Yeah, no question.
But I think that major pays off for them long term.
Yeah, that's true, probably more than $10 million.
Yeah. So.
And even if it was match play, the nature of golf is different than other sports in that you could put, you know, Dustin Johnson against Jason Day, they could play 10 matches and they could win 5 each.
Right.
I don't know if you put the Denver Broncos against the Carolina Panthers in the Super Bowl 10 times, if that would split the same way. But I don't know, golf's just different. But we try to have it culminate. The PGA Tour Playoffs, FedEx Cup, has been successful in bringing interest back to golf into the fall. But, man, it's tough, too. It was opening week of football season,
right?
You know, and I'm trying to turn back and follow the BMW, but I'm keep going back to the Red Zone channel and losing track of time.
Yeah, I actually had to go back and watch it last night just to watch a little more in depth. Not that it was much to watch, DJ blowing everybody out, but
which is really credit to DJ. He's been known in the past for blowing leads, but he was unstoppable down the stretch. The last chance he really had to blow it was the 16th hole. It's a par 3 with water on the right, and he just hits a beautiful shot to pin high 20 feet, you know, right of the pin. And, you know, there's nobody catching him yesterday.
No, not at all.
And maybe that bodes well for next year. So, hey, we got a fantasy golf draft coming up, Brownie, soon.
Yes.
In probably somewhere between 2 to 4 weeks.
Right.
Dustin Johnson, number one pick?
Right now, I would say he has to be the number one pick.
Yeah, I think he would be.
Tiger Woods will be back.
Tiger Woods won't be a top 30 or 40 pick overall. He'll get picked, but he won't be.
You're picking him.
I'll pick him.
You're fifth
I
round
won't
again.
Leave him off the table, that's for sure, on the table. But you're right. I think right now, if we're doing that draft, I think he goes number one.
Yeah, I do too. So, and
he's more important than Jason Day and Jordan Spieth and Rory McIlroy.
He just seems, and again, you can go back to last year and say the same thing about Jason Day, who – he was my first round pick, and he's paid off. It was I wish he did more, but it was worth the pick. But I got Adam Scott in the second or third round. Must have been the second. Might have been third or fourth, though, even, because Adam Scott going in this year, and here Scott sits one ahead of Jason Day.
Right.
And your first pick was Rory McIlroy, who finally came through last week and sits at sixth. Jordan Spieth was the number one pick of the draft after winning the FedEx Cup last year, and he's seventh in the standings. So all those guys ended up being good picks, but nobody had the dominant year that was expected out of somebody. And so who's to say that Dustin Johnson comes back next year and doesn't do what we think? That's, again, this is the nature of the game of golf. It's tough to do what Tiger Woods did for so many years and just be a dominant atop the world for, you know, years and years.
Well, just week to week, it's crazy. Look at, I mean, Rory wins pretty handily last week, and then he goes out and shoots 68, 72, 73, 72. So, I mean, he's one of the top players in the world and had a very vanilla week this week. Right. And we're all thinking, okay, he's back. He's going to be right there in the midst of it and probably be in the top five by the end of this week. And he goes out and doesn't do anything this past week. So, very
laid an egg, basically.
Usually you get one or two guys that are hot the whole year, and then you get guys that go in spurts.
Right.
You know, DJ's that guy this year, that's for sure.
So let's kick it back, I guess, to look at some of the field here. We already know that Johnson, Reed, Scott, Day, and Casey control their own destiny, but Rory McIlroy at six, if he wins, which he very well could, he won 2 weeks ago, the number one player, Dustin Johnson, must finish tied for second or worse, which doesn't make sense to me because that's what they say for the criteria, because if Rory wins, then he's definitely going to finish tied for second or worse, right? Or maybe that means that he can't be solo second.
Solo second, right?
Just eke him out.
And if Rory finishes second, there's still a mathematical chance that he could win the Tour Championship. Jordan Spieth at seventh must win. And number one must finish in a three-way tie for second or worse. And number two, which is Patrick Reed, must finish tied for second or worse. And then eighth, you have Russell Knox, kind of the first name on this list that you, maybe if you haven't been paying that close attention to golf this year, you wonder what's he doing up there. He has to win, and Dustin Johnson has to finish third or worse. Patrick Reed must finish tied for second or worse, and Adam Scott must finish second or worse. And then you get down to 9, Emiliano Grillo. And again, it just keeps getting the top guys need to do a little worse for these guys to have a chance as you go down. And then 10, Jimmy Walker. And 11, Brant Snedeker. 12, Justin Thomas. 13, Phil Mickelson. 14, Ryan Moore. 15, Doug's boy, Kevin Chappell.
Chappell.
16, Matt Kuchar. 17, Hideki Matsuyama. 18, Siwoo Kim. 19, Kevin Kisner. And then when you get down to the 20s, it's going to be really difficult for these guys to win the FedEx Cup if they win, but they can certainly jump up the standings and cash a nice paycheck this week. At 20, you have Gary Woodland, followed by Roberto Castro, Kevin Na, William McGirt, Bubba Watson at 24, Sean O'Hare at 25, Daniel Berger, Jason Duffner, J.B. Holmes at 28, Jonathan Vegas at 29, and then the last guy in at 30, edging out Brooks Koepka, who had a disappointing year with the injury, ankle injury, Charles Schwartzel. And now this is what has to happen for Charles Schwartzel to win the FedEx Cup at 30th. Dustin Johnson has to finish 29th or worse. So he has to, of this 30-field team, he has to come in second to last.
He has to get a flat tire on the way to the tournament.
And then also Patrick Reed needs to finish in a three-way tie for 6th or worse. Adam Scott has to finish tied for 4th or worse. Jason Day has to finish tie for 3rd for worst, and then there's some more of that kind of nonsense. But, yeah, so it's tough for Charles Schwartzel to win. Dustin Johnson would have to basically WD. But Jason Day WD'd last week at the BMW, so.
Yep.
So that's the field. Not very often that we get to talk about a PGA Tour event, can actually talk it about the field as a whole, you know, in 1 hour podcast, but. What do you guys think looking at this field of guys with a chance? I don't want your winning pick right now. We'll save that for the fantasy picks segment. But what do you guys think of some sleepers maybe?
I think you know, the winner or you know guys that will do well and finish in the top 10 are those guys that are really looking to impress for the Ryder Cup, the last spot. You know, there's a handful of guys in that 11 through 30 that are definitely under consideration. So I think it's more for them, you know, playing well and impressing the
captain for that final pick.
Yeah.
Guys so. Like Thomas, or Snedeker at 11, Thomas at 12, even Mickelson's in, right?
Snedeker and Mickelson. Thomas and Moore.
Chappell.
And let's see, who else would be?
Daniel Berger down at 26.
Berger's.
Bubba at 24 is not on the team.
I'd have Kevin Na on my team.
You would?
He's a pain in the butt. I think he would drive those guys crazy.
Yeah, that's true. Just for the to antagonize the Europeans.
Put him with Patrick Reed. That'd be a great, great matchup.
But Brian, what do you think, Brownie? In here
to win this tournament,
You know, that's not in the top 10.
Not in the top 10. I would think the guys that are playing the best overall would be Ryan Moore and Kevin Chappell that aren't in the top 10. They seem to be the guys more in form week after week. You talk like the last couple of months. That's right. I would say Ryan Moore.
Yeah. Yeah, he seems to be the darling of our podcast over the past month.
He's a Link Soul guy.
Yeah.
Yes.
And then you got... You know, Sean O'Hare sitting there at 25, you wouldn't expect to see him in this field until he kind of turned it on, got that second place finish a few weeks ago. But this is fun. It's a different type of golf tournament. And everybody that's in there earned it. There's no doubt about that.
I like Matsuyama coming out of that group.
The other factor in this event, too, it's unlike another. You come down the stretch, it's not just to win the event. It's to win $10 million bonus. And every one of these guys are mathematically still into it.
Yeah.
Although it's more and more difficult for some.
Right.
But you get up on the 18th tee and you're tied for first and you're Russell Knox.
Yeah.
And everything, the stars are all aligned for you. You make a birdie on 18, you win.
Yeah.
Right? And you win probably $2 million to win the event and $10 million bonus.
How much money does it take before these guys start to get nervous about the money? because I don't think that any of them in the majors are really concerned about the money unless they're really a dark horse who came out of the field.
Right.
I think they're more just thinking about the win. But in this case, they might get nervous about the money.
They might, but boy, you look over the years, Bill Hoskins is up and down from the pond to win the $10 million bonus.
Yeah.
Jim Furyk putts with his hat on backwards
because
it's raining so darn hard the drops are coming off his brim, right? And then Snedeker made a birdie on 17 the year he won coming in all right, and closed the field out. So I haven't seen that factor yet that got to these guys. Nobody's really crumbled on the way in. I think people played outstanding on the way in to win.
I don't think they'll ever get nervous about the money because just look at these guys on this list. I mean, they're all multimillionaires. So, I mean, I think the money thing is more for the television broadcast and the publicity of the whole thing to make the FedEx Cup worth something in our eyes. You know what I mean? Justin Leonard's worth $60 million.
Yeah.
These guys have so much money put away. I mean, obviously they want to win it, and if they miss a putt to win it, I'm sure they'd be upset. But
at the money they left on the table.
Right.
So think about later on, the Hall of Fame votes come up later on, 20 years down the road. Maybe you got one major, you won 10 tournaments and two FedEx championships. It might be enough to overcome maybe a shortfall of major wins or winning the Arnold Palmer or winning the Jack Nicklaus event, something like that. So there's maybe some longer-term payoffs as well. Not as much on the financial side, but to get consideration for a Hall of Fame.
I think another reason why you don't see guys crumbling down the stretch is because these are the top 30 players in the world.
They are.
Yeah.
And there's nobody that didn't earn their way in, and there's nobody that hasn't been in that type of situation before at some point this year or in the past. And, it's just it's a small field, but as strong as you'll get for a 30-person field.
It's an all-star game, basically, with a chance to win $10 million. Somebody chokes coming down to the end. Nobody's talking about it 2 years from now. Jordan Spieth, we will always remember what happened with him on number 12 at the Masters in 2016. I just think that it's important. It's come a long way since they started it. It's much better than it used to be, and I think it does carry some weight as far. It is big, they're big tournaments. Obviously, they're next in line after the majors and a couple World Golf Championships throughout the course of the year. But I just don't think that I can't remember, aside from a couple of them and a couple of the Bill Haas's great shot and Furyk's putt. Not a whole lot of things I really remember about them.
Well, I think one thing that we've talked about it before is move the venue, and I think this elevates the event.
Mm-hmm.
East Lake is a fine course for a regular tour stop in May, but this is the tour championship. You want to elevate it. Imagine if this tournament for these three guys was at Pebble Beach this week.
Pebble Beach, TPC, you could go back there for a tournament. I mean, there's no reason not to go there. I mean, there's all kinds, right?
Oh, yeah, you could go all over the place. You could go to Brookline in Massachusetts. You could go to Marion. You could go to Oakmont. You could go to, any of the dozen to 20 of the most venerable
lot of options
courses in America, and I think it would make this event a lot bigger. And it would almost elevate it to a major status. All year long they'd be talking about, when the top 30 players get to the tour championship at Pebble Beach this year, or the tour championship at, any of these courses, at Pinehurst, for example. I think it should move. I don't know why they're married to East Lake.
I can take one big guess of why they're married to East Lake. Coca-Cola. Coca-Cola is the sponsor of the tour championship in Atlanta. I think all of that ties in. I guarantee you that has a lot to do with it.
Mm.
As long as they're the tour championship sponsor, I bet it stays at East Lake.
Well, Coca-Cola, though, if they're going to dump that money into it, there would be higher visibility if it was at a more well-known golf course.
Well, I don't disagree there.
Not that East Lake isn't well-known, but...
Well, you have some of these other FedEx Cup venues are better known than East Lake. I mean... They've played at Bethpage. They've played at
Cog Hill.
What's the other one up in Rye, up there?
Wingfoot.
Well, not Wingfoot. There's another. They haven't played it there in a while, but losing track of which one I'm thinking of. But there's definitely some venues that are probably considered better than East Lake that they play on in the three tournaments prior.
Well, we're going to have, like I say, a week off, and then next week comes the Tour Championship. It's going to be fun to watch no matter where they're playing it. But sure. We'll give you our picks to win in a second. But speaking of picks, let's talk about Davis Love III's three captain selections. J.B. Holmes, Ricky Fowler, and Matt Kuchar, leaving one more that he'll choose after the Tour Championship. So if you're one of those guys that likes to run a Ryder Cup pool or whatever, or you know, or any type of coverage, they're not going to have the roster set until 3 days before the event, which is something different.
Yeah.
So before we talk about who might fill that fourth spot, which we've already touched on, what do you think about those three picks of Holmes, Fowler, and Kuchar? If you were captain, Doug, would you have chosen those three?
No, I don't think I would have. I would have taken Kuchar. I think the other two I'm a little bit skeptical on, mostly skeptical on the Ricky Fowler pick. We've been talking about Ryan Moore for about a month. I think I would have taken Ryan Moore over Fowler and Holmes. Although I would have had JB probably in the four. I'm not sure if I have him in the three at this point in time.
Well, two of those guys are at East Lake, and right. Ricky Fowler's the one that's not. So yes. He's not even in the top 30 in the standings.
Right.
It's a really questionable pick. It's almost as if, the whoever's, manages marketing for this type of thing says, look, we want Fowler in there because he's a big name and he's recognizable.
We'll be all over Instagram.
Yeah.
And he has not really played well the second half of the season, and that's why I'm against him. Early on in the year, solid choice, but he didn't play his way into the top 30. I just don't know why he would have got one of the top three picks at this point.
And just go back to his history, too. He was at the Belfry. He did well. But he's 0-4-4 overall.
Right.
He's 0-0-3-4 ball. He's 0-2-1 of foursomes and 0-2-0 in singles.
Right.
So he's a half point guy. He's not a full point guy. He hasn't gotten a full point in any match he's ever been in.
We can probably come up with four guys that are playing in the top 30 that aren't picked yet that would probably be better candidates than Fowler.
I agree with that wholeheartedly.
Maybe about tied with Holmes, but I'm not sure if there's – Holmes had a good year.
Yeah.
And he's a bomber.
He's
a big
suited golf for that course.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So –
But, like you said, Ryan Moore, Kevin Chappell, Kuchar. I would have taken Kuchar for sure, I think.
Justin Thomas, Ricky's good buddy.
Yeah, Kisner.
Is 12 in FedEx?
Kisner's not automatically.
Oh, that's right.
Kisner's in.
Yeah, he's in. Okay, excuse me. But
Kevin Na?
Nah.
I like Kevin Na a lot.
Bubba, Sean O'Hare, Daniel Berger.
Kisner's not in.
Duffner?
He's not in? No. He got bumped out then?
Fowler, Holmes, Johnson, Koepka, Kuchar, Mickelson, Reed, Snedeker, Spieth, Walker. So he's available to bump.
There's one of those picks. Four names, or four or five names, because we got Thompson, Moore, Chappell, Kisner. Gary Woodland moved up the list all of a sudden.
Yeah.
Bubba Watson, who knows? Kevin Na. Daniel Berger's had a really good last month. Right?
Look, who's going to have the most pressure on him now? Ricky Fowler. He hasn't done well in Ryder Cups in the past. He hasn't played well recently, and the most pressure is going to be on him because he's the most controversial pick.
Yes.
And we're trying to win this thing. America used to dominate the Ryder Cup. It was a joke. So in those days, who cares? Pick somebody. If we lose one, maybe it's good for the event. But now Europe dominates the event, and we really tried to make some changes to win, and then Davis Love picks a guy like Ricky Fowler with a poor Ryder Cup record and who isn't even playing in the Tour Championship. Just doesn't make any sense to me.
Yeah, I don't agree with it at all either. I think there's so many better options that are playing better right now. So, even like Bubba Watson, I'm not sold on him, and a lot of people are talking that he's going to be the 12th pick, and he's not playing well.
And on top of that, there's some chemistry issues there with Bubba. He's not necessarily well-liked among his peers.
Right. I mean.
So I've been told.
And Ricky apparently has the opposite of that. They all like him. Good teammate, good guy in the clubhouse and all that kind of good stuff. But we haven't won this thing very often. So I'm not sure if I want a bunch of guys to get along or a bunch of guys that can go win.
Yeah, we want to win.
Lean towards the win.
Yeah, I mean, he did his Goodwill tour in Rio.
Yeah.
I mean, and he didn't do anything there.
I mean, sometimes, yeah, you can gel because of who you're paired with, but still this thing boils down to the single matches.
Yep.
Typically, when it's all said and done, it's the 12 singles on Sunday.
You can swing it.
His record's not good. He's not playing good.
2008 was the last time that we won the Ryder Cup. Hmm. You know, at Valhalla. 2008. That's going to be a decade.
It's too long.
If we lose this one, it will be a decade the next time they play it. And it's just hard to believe because look at the, well, you know, actually, look at the top 30, and it really isn't dominated by Americans. You know, you got Johnson and Reed, number 1-2 in FedEx Cup standings, but then you got two Australians, Scott and Day, and then Paul Casey and McIlroy, 5th and 6th. And then Jordan Spieth, 7. Russell Knox, who's 8th and not on the European team,
right,
which is kind of shocking, from Scotland. Emiliano Grilla from Argentina. And then you got another American, Jimmy Walker. Then the next 10 is really full of Americans with Snedeker, Thomas, Mickelson, Moore, Chapel, Kuchar, and Kisner. But
the Golf Channel tonight said that right now, even though we have one fewer player, that the average world ranking for the Americans is 14.
Okay.
And the average for the Europeans is 24. So on paper, we're solid, right?
Right.
But two years ago, it was the same type of thing.
We're solid on paper.
We've seen that a bunch of times, haven't we? And a bunch of huge disappointments.
Right.
Well, Love now has one more pick to make, and he's going to pick it following the Tour Championship. He plans to make the announcement Sunday night, September 25th, after the completion of the FedEx Cup playoff finale. And one of the players still under consideration is Bubba Watson, who ranks 7th in the world and is the highest-ranked American player in Ryder Cup points who did not automatically qualify. Watson and Jim Furyk are the only Americans ranked inside the top 30 in the world who are not already on the playing roster. So Furyk not in the top 30 FedEx, but top 30 world-ranked. Watson's also played in 3 Ryder Cups. Furyk's played in the last 9. And then if Love is looking for new blood, he could choose from several players. Ryan Moore, 3 top 10s in his last 5 starts, and which is why he's waiting till that last minute to pick the hottest player possible. So based on that alone, if Moore performs well at Eastlake, I think he's the guy. He also won the John Deere Classic. Daniel Berger has 2 top 10s in his last 4 starts, including a tie for 10 on Sunday at the BMW Championship. Justin Thomas, who's come on, enters the Tour Championship ranked 12th in FedEx Cup points. And there are 11 Americans at Eastlake who are not on the Ryder Cup team. Bubba Watson, Justin Thomas, Ryan Moore, Daniel Berger, Kevin Chappell, Kevin Kisner, Gary Woodland, Kevin Na, William McGirt, who some people forget are Americans, but he was the Memorial champ this year. Sean O'Hare and Jason Duffner. And, I mean, in that last few statements I just made are probably all the contenders. There's nobody that I didn't mention there that is in consideration. And it might be worthless to talk about it right now because it looks like if you're going to wait until Sunday night to choose this of the Tour Championship, then you better very well make it a guy who plays really well.
Yeah.
You know, imagine if he ends up going with Bubba Watson, who finishes like 23rd.
Yeah.
You know, that would be shocking. Why'd you wait then? You must have known you wanted him anyway. So I really think, in addition to the drama in the final event of the Tour, you're going to have subplots if you see Ryan Moore, you know, battling it out against Bubba it for like the 5th or 6th spot, you know, heading into Sunday's round, and they're both poised and are up in the top 10. You know, who's going to have a better final round Sunday? But
you look at some of these guys' pedigree too, and all three of us keep going back to the same guy. But Ryan Moore's a U.S. amateur champ as well, and he's won plenty of times on the PGA Tour. You know, he's a NCAA champ as well. So, I mean, he's got that little bit of medal that some of these guys don't necessarily have yet. And I'm not saying they don't deserve it. I'm thinking, aside from Bubba and, you know, I'm not sure about Nah, but I think those other guys, I think any of them are deserving. But I just – Ryan Moore just kind of keeps popping in my head because of the way he's playing and what he's done in the past. He's got major – not major, but he's got big tournament experience and can handle the pressure. U.S. Amateur is not an easy tournament.
And there's some match play.
Yeah. So, I mean, he knows what he's doing out there.
My opinion right now is he's going to choose Bubba Watson, and I think it's a done deal, although I think it's a mistake.
Right.
Because you're absolutely right. What if he does finish 25th or higher? What if Kevin Kisner wins?
Yeah. How could you say?
Or Justin Thomas wins.
Yeah, we waited till it was over so we could factor that in, but we're not going to take Justin Thomas, who won. We're going to take Bubba, who finished 22nd. Yeah.
And our justification will be is Bubba's got a higher world ranking. That doesn't mean much right now if you just got the hot guy. Right? Well, so
that's what I've said all along, too. It's this two-year rotation is crazy. Should start with the first term of the year and go from there. Points from last year should have nothing to do with this. I mean, guys that played well last year. I mean, Zach Johnson, great player overall, but you know, when was the last time we really talked about Zach Johnson? He didn't do that much at the President's Cup, and we haven't really talked about him since he had a great finish to the Open.
Now, here's what 15. I say, look, we haven't won this thing since 2008. I don't care about guys with Ryder Cup experience. There's already enough that automatically qualified. Kuchar, you're out. Holmes, out. Fowler, out. Give me more. Chappell. Kisner.
Thomas.
There you go. Let's get some fresh blood in here, guys that are going to be so excited to be there to play. And it's nothing against any of those guys I mentioned as golfers. It's just like, let's try something different.
Sure.
Why are we going to load up the same team that essentially lost the last two Ryder Cups?
Right. Yeah.
All we've done is change the selection criteria for the captain's picks.
Yeah.
And we delayed one by 2 weeks.
But we'll get the same roster.
More than likely.
And as a golf fan, an American golf fan, I'm not glad that we lost 8 in a row, but it does put us in a situation now where I actually really care about this Ryder Cup more than I probably have in a while.
Right.
It's as an American golfer, American citizen who loves golf, it's embarrassing. You know, we have the better golfers. We have, I'm going to say we have the better courses, even though they have amazing golf courses over there, different styles, a lot of them. But three of the four majors are played in America. And, you know, it's sick of seeing us get our butts kicked.
We've been getting spanked.
Yeah.
No doubt about it.
So, yeah, we'll find out. We'll find out, and maybe Ricky Fowler will take 4 points. a few weeks from now.
Doesn't mean he plays every day.
Yeah, that's true, right?
The only thing you got to play is Sunday.
Yeah, everybody plays Sunday other than that.
Although I don't understand why a captain would have anybody in the team and not play him at least once a day.
Yeah, well, you can gauge, too, before, you know, as it goes on. Like, if I was captain, I would be looking at how the guys are playing in the first day of matches. Before I even put together my teams, and, you know, I might have a rough draft of who I might think, but if all of a sudden, you know, Ricky Fowler comes out and wins 2 points in the first day or plays only one of the first 36 holes on the first day but plays extremely well, then you're going to move him into there for the day two. But
it seems like in these last this last run of us not doing well, other than when Zinger had the key formula for whatever reason, the great book that he wrote, by the way, about cracking the code. But it just seems like we're always watching them make some seriously boneheaded decisions on their lineups each year. I mean, when was it Sutton that put Tiger and Phil together?
Yeah.
I mean, everybody knew that was going to fail.
Right.
Everybody knew that. And some of the things Watson did 2 years ago.
They still got to execute. I know Watson took a beating at the end.
Yeah, sure.
They're professional golfers, and we hit bonehead shots.
Yeah.
Right? Miss putts all over the place. They execute, we don't.
It still seems like those.
It boils down to.
It seems like some of those pairings, though, just don't mesh. And we all know that, but for whatever reason, the coaching staff, the captains don't see that. And I don't understand that.
Well, Tiger and Phil are historic rivals at the time when they were paired together.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, less of a chance of them having that chemistry or pulling for each other, almost a situation where Tiger doesn't want to let Phil win the hole. Tiger wants to win the hole.
Sure. They're trying to beat each other and their teammates.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
So there is a lot to that, but I do agree with Doug that, look, if you put Tiger and Phil together, they're 1 and 2 in the world. How can you go wrong?
Right.
But they didn't perform well.
But the dynamics were awful. They didn't talk to each other different sides of the fairway.
They looked like they didn't want to be there at all.
That was a bad choice.
Yeah.
But that was 1 point.
Yeah.
Right? So, and I think if you look back, we were probably not too far behind going into singles. Because at Oak Hill, we led by two going into singles in 95.
Mm-hmm.
And we got beat. Usually a two-point lead going to singles is a pretty good lead.
Yeah.
All right. But if you're down by five or six going into singles, chances are pretty remote of having that Brookline thing come out where all of a sudden we make every putt.
In Medina, we blew it like they blew it at the country club at Brookline.
Right.
But some of these have been just blowouts, you know.
Oh, and the last time we got beat bad.
Yeah.
Like a drum. Yeah, it was awful.
By Saturday afternoon, it's over.
Yeah.
It's just, yeah, I mean, you're not going to have that Brookline every how many times do we need to say, well, it happened before? Let's not get into those situations.
Right.
Let's have it be tied going into Sunday. Or
how many matches you see we have a one-up lead going to 18 and we make bogey?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Or we're tied going to 18 and they make birdie. Because we can't make birdie for some reason. So we have the cup in our just about in our grasp.
Yeah.
We can see it, but we can't take it away. Mm-hmm. And there's been some god-awful shots. I mean, Jim Furyk is one we've been raving about his play the last couple of weeks, but he had some problems coming in there, I think it was 4 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And Martin Keimer came out of nowhere, right?
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
Beat him. So he's not the only one. There's many others. I think Steve Stricker bogeyed three-putt of the 18th green one that same event.
Yeah, yeah, you're right.
And lost us a half a point. And I think we only got beat by a whole point.
And Steve Stricker is probably not going to three-putt that green if it's the 18th hole of a FedEx Cup playoff event. He's just playing for himself.
Yeah. Right.
There's that added level of pressure when you're playing for your teammates in your country that seems to elevate the European players and hurt the American players.
Right.
So we'll see who he picks next Sunday, and then two Sundays from now, and then we'll be back here in studio with both rosters in hand, and we can really kind of break down some of the matchups we'd like to see and talk about the Ryder Cup. Tour Championship, 2 weekends from now. Ryder Cup, 3 weekends from now. Safeway Open, 5 weekends from now.
Oh.
So, hey, how about some Golf J trivia? Tweet your answer right now to @TheGolfJ. First to tweet us the answer wins a Golf J hat. And the question is this week, who holds the Tour Championship scoring record at East Lake? Now, they had the Tour Championship before the FedEx Cup playoffs, I think prior to 2004, maybe it was at different courses, but it's been at East Lake, I think, since 2004, exclusively. So who holds the Tour Championship scoring record at East Lake? We don't need to know what it is, just who. And now let's move it over to the web.com tour. Where Bryson DeChambeau won, secured his PGA Tour card. That's a great thing, I think, for the PGA Tour. The thought that he might not secure it. He would have got 12 sponsors exemptions next year, but now he's going to be he's officially going to be a card-holding tour member for 2016-17. He emerged from a four-man playoff to win the DAP Championship, the first event of the web.com Tour Finals. And he got $180,000 for the win. And he receives one of the 25 cards up for grab across the four tournament series. So there you go. DeChambeau, get ready for him in 2016. Would you take Bryson next year? What round of your fantasy golf draft? It's an eight-person league we're in. What round would you start considering Bryson DeChambeau?
We have 10 rounds.
Yep.
I think he's got to be fifth round or below. So I'm seeing between 5 and 10, not 1 through 4. He hasn't earned his stripes to get a top 4 pick.
Remember how well he did at the Masters?
Yeah, but see how well he crumbled all summer long, too.
But now with the pressure really on, he wins. I'm one of those guys that thinks winning a web.com tour event is not almost as difficult as winning a PGA Tour event, but it's not easy.
No.
It's not easy at all. There's a lot of great players out there, all the just on the cusp of being PGA Tour players.
25 of them are going to be next year. So you're right. I mean, they're all.
I would encourage you then to take him in either your second or third pick.
No,
and I'll make a side bet with you that my second or third guy will beat yours.
I wouldn't take him that early. I agree with you. I would say you're probably starting to think of him
500.
You know, honestly, I think you're thinking about him maybe even a little later, maybe seventh round. He'll probably go higher because of name recognition, but fifth round means he's a top 40 player. And, you know, I'll take any of the 30 guys at the Tour Championship this week ahead of him, and there's got to be 10 more.
I'll put this question out to you. Would you take – who would you take first? It doesn't matter where in the draft, but who would you take first, DeChambeau or John Rahm?
John Rahm.
Yeah, Rahm is the better amateur, or the better of the new professionals that had great amateur careers. Rahm is probably a fifth-round pick.
Right. Maybe even fourth.
Honestly, the way he performs every time he plays. Right.
He's probably going to play a lot.
Yeah.
So I think Rahm hands down to answer your question.
So, anyways, I think that's great news for golf fans that DeChambeau will be on the Major League Tour next year.
Unique personality.
Yeah, definitely.
So, all right, back to the Tour Championship. We need winners. I'll go first because you guys probably already know who I'm picking. He had back spasms at the BMW, but I got to go with my man Jason Day. And, you know, honestly, Jason Day could create a great debate if he wins. Who will be the player of the year? He won the Players' Championship, the Dell Match Play, and Arnold Palmer's tournament. And if you throw a Tour Championship in there, it's going to be a hotly debated who's the player of the year. Which sure. I say also, look, the player of the year is the guy that wins the FedEx Cup. Why do we have two different awards? Right?
Well, Billy Horschel won the FedEx Cup, and that's all he really did was win the playoffs.
So did Haas.
But yes. It would be like, you know, the Denver Broncos won the Super Bowl, but our team of the year is the Patriots.
Again, different sports. You can't compare the two.
Yeah, no, I agree. I agree with that. But my pick is Jason Day. Is he number one player in the world still, just barely holding on to it? I think he is.
Yeah, they haven't said anything about DJ being number one yet in the world rankings.
Look, and I can't even say his season's been disappointing. His major season's been disappointing. The second half of summer's been a little disappointing, but he's still finishing 12th place every tournament, you know, when he doesn't withdraw from with back spasms, but, you know, he's fourth in FedEx Cup standings. And I'm sticking with Jason Day. Very difficult to win 2 weeks in a row. You don't see it happen too often. So I'm going with Day.
I'm not going with Day, and I'm not going to take DJ just because I think DJ might run away with it. But to take actual somebody who I think's going to do it, I think I'm going to stay with Adam Scott. He's still top 10. He was top 5 again this week, and so I think I'm going to take him to get the win and close it out. He'll get his FedEx Cup if he wins it. So,
right,
Brownie?
I'm going to go with Rory McIlroy. He had putter spasms last week, but I believe that'll be corrected.
Now, will he win the FedEx Cup too, or just the tournament?
Okay. Yep. He doesn't have to get too many things to happen in his favor beyond him winning the tournament.
Now, that's crazy too, right, though? He picks Rory, and if Rory wins, Rory will have won 2 out of the 4 FedEx Cup tournaments. And still a good chance he doesn't win it.
No, I don't think it's a good chance. I think if Rory wins it, there's a good chance he will win it. The only way he wouldn't is if Dustin Johnson comes in solo second.
Right. Okay.
Which there's a good chance that'll happen, but it's also...
Could happen that he doesn't win it, though.
At least it doesn't take 10 elements for Rory winning the cup.
Right. Yeah. Charles Schwartzel has a tougher,
tougher road. Yeah.
So, but also... It's hard to accept Rory, I think, as the FedEx Cup champ, just winning 2 tournaments in the last 3 weeks. Before that win 2 weeks ago, what shot would you have given him to even be thought about to win the FedEx Cup champ? Now he's in a position where if he wins, he likely wins.
Yeah.
2 weeks ago, I didn't think he'd make the cut to the 70 level.
Right.
Yeah, exactly.
So
We could have this debate millions of times before about the FedEx Cup playoffs. Let's not do it again, but that's the scenario. You know, Rory's right back up there.
But if Rory wins, he's not player of the year. He doesn't get the consideration.
And nobody, we haven't talked about Jordan Spieth sitting at 7th.
Right.
You know, nobody picked Jordan Spieth. He's a defending champ. He won this tournament last year.
He's a second-round draft pick.
Model of consistency.
Second-round draft pick in our pick, in our league.
He won't. He'll be a late first-round pick.
I think he'll be a top-5 pick. I think that...
One of the first 5 drafts?
I think he'll be one of the first 5 players picked. He was number 1 last year.
No, he wasn't. Rory was number 1.
Oh, that's right. Rory 1, Spieth 2, Day 3.
Yeah. Well, if you look at the top 7, you're not picking Casey or Reed over Spieth.
No, I know that. So. I just throw that out there for discussion.
He's definitely in the top five. And he, none of us would have batted an eye if anyone said Jordan Spieth today.
No.
But just.
I'm shocked that we didn't discuss him more.
The way we haven't talked about him, you think he'd be 752nd in the world.
Right.
Like my other best friend, Tiger Woods. So.
Well, on that note, finally, Tiger announces he's going to return at the Safeway.
That was 3 weeks off.
So it's about a month from now, Tiger Woods will tee it up in the Safeway Open, the opening event of the PGA Tour season. And he released a quote. He said, "My rehabilitation is to the point where I'm comfortable making plans, but I still have work to do. Whether I can play depends on my continued progress and recovery. My hope is to have my game ready to go," as he announced his intention to play the Safeway Open, the Turkish Airlines Open, and the Hero World Championship.
I think he's getting a few bucks to play the Turkish Airlines
Open.
Right.
An appearance fee, sure.
Three events before January
right.
for Tiger.
1 month apart.
Yeah, and they'll all be the story of the golf world that weekend,
absolutely.
Without a doubt.
Yes.
What's at stake for Tiger, though? If he tees it up at the Safeway Open against a mediocre field and misses the cut, I mean, are you ready to say that he's finished? Is anybody ready to say he's finished if he lays an egg at the Safeway?
No, because he'll say, "I'm close. I'm just, this and that." But no, he's not going
to
be.
He's got to miss 10 cuts in a row for us to have a discussion.
It will have been 14 months since he last played at the Wyndham. When he tees it up in the Safeway.
Assuming he's healthy, he needs to play golf.
Yeah.
And if this just gets him going for January, he needs to play on the West Coast, which he never does.
So do you think that he'll play these three tournaments and then, regardless of how he does, go forward with a heavy schedule into the new year, into 2017?
I think he, unless he has a setback medically.
Right. There's a good chance.
He'll be in San Diego. Playing Torrey Pines.
Could he play a Riviera?
Pebble Beach, maybe. Riviera, he doesn't go to very often.
No, but maybe this year.
But
if he's out there.
You're absolutely right. He typically doesn't go to Arizona.
He doesn't qualify for any WGC events.
No.
Not right now.
No. But I would think he would do Torrey Pines, Pebble Beach, Doral, which is really March. That's not a lot of golf in between.
Are they going?
March.
Are they in Doral this year?
Oh, they got booted to Mexico.
That's a WGC, so he wouldn't even be in that at this point.
So.
Unless he won like three tournaments.
But he needs to play in the old Bob Hope Desert Classic or something. He needs to play golf.
I think you'll see him play in a lot of these non-traditional ones like Safeway and things like that. I mean, he played in the Wyndham last year, which isn't typically one he
was trying to hopefully get into the playoffs last year.
Yeah, yeah. And he actually played well in that tournament until he hurt him. Did he finish that tournament and then bailed out since then, or did he not finish the tournament?
I thought he had a top 10. Didn't he have the lead at one point?
Okay, so he did.
Early first or second round, he might have had a taste of the lead.
He had a bad third round, I think, but then he came back again on Sunday. But
what do you guys think the chances are that in the Safeway Open, he is 13 shots off the lead in the second round at 3 over, and he has an injury and withdraws? You think, is that a scenario you guys can foresee? Because I think there's a 40% chance that that's what happens.
I think there's a chance, less than 5% chance of that. But it obviously that's a cut. There's a field that gets cut for 2 days.
Yep.
The other two tournaments, I know the one in Turkey doesn't have a cut.
Right.
And I think the other one that he plays in, the Hero one, doesn't have a cut. So he's guaranteed
guys.
Four rounds.
Yeah.
But he needs rounds. I don't believe he's going to come back unless he feels confident that he's medically good to go.
Yep.
Okay. Now, it doesn't mean he doesn't twist a knee or an ankle or something along those lines, because they're all at that risk.
Pop a glute or whatever.
But I don't think he's going to say, "Man, I'm not playing too good. Oh, my back. Take me home."
Yeah.
I don't know. It's wildly intriguing and interesting to see what happens at the Safeway. Never before has the Safeway Open been so highly anticipated.
Yeah, they had Rory last year, and now they're topping it with Tiger. But that wasn't, this is way
much different.
Maybe they're going to mow the roughs down so we haven't got to worry about those big, heavy swings at a 4 or 5 inch rough.
I hope he does well. I mean, it's just more fun to watch when
golf
he's involved.
Needs him.
He's totally.
Right now. They need him to play well and just fade away naturally and not fall off the cliff like he has.
I mean,
so
these guys are still competitive well into their 40s. So, I mean, he's got a good six, 7 years if he's healthy. And
well, I think we may be seeing, I think that we will see one or two things. Maybe he will be ready to come back and make the cut and get a top 20 finish at the Safeway, which would be like, okay, you know, Tiger's easing his way back into things. By next major season, he might be a contender again. But you could also see the end. If he comes out and lays an egg, misses the cut, plays terrible, has some sort of injury or doesn't, you could be seeing the end.
Right. I hope next year that we get to talk about how other players performed when they were paired with Tiger, when he was playing well, and the crowds are going nuts, because none of those guys that are in the top 10 have experienced that.
Right.
Yeah. To where that the Tiger crowd, the Tiger roar,
mm-hmm.
right, it's a different level.
Definitely is more fun watching
I
golf.
I like to see what they do, because it's the guys in Tigers, when Tiger was younger than like Davis Love, Davis Love was intimidated by Tiger Woods.
Oh, yeah.
He admitted it.
Yeah.
Okay. Ernie Others Els. Talk about how bad the crowds were. They were great for Tiger, but they bothered everybody else.
Sure.
Right? These guys haven't seen that.
Right.
Even as good a following as Jordan Spieth has and Rory McIlroy has and Jason Day has, it's a whole different level.
Well, let's say a 14-year-old right now at a PGA Tour event, does he even root for Tiger more than he does for Jordan Spieth?
I mean, it's probably leaning towards Jordan Spieth.
Yeah, it's. I mean, there's been such a gap now that a lot of the younger golf fans look at Tiger Woods the way I looked at, God, I'm trying to think of someone comparable, Tom Weisskopf. You know, or he's just a name from the past that, you know, I didn't really ever see in his prime that I heard was pretty good. But I like watching Tom Watson, who's, you know, getting up and down against Nicholas. And again, so that's from my era.
If you were 14 years old and got invited to a tournament and Ben Hogan was playing, you never saw Ben Hogan play. You always saw Jack Nicklaus.
Yeah.
Right? But Ben Hogan's got this aura.
Yeah.
You might be intrigued by Ben Hogan.
Oh, yeah. Look, that's the thing that Tiger has in common with these other guys that we talked about, like with Hogan and Nicklaus and Palmer, is there's a mystique about him.
Right.
And so that's why we're so interested.
Right. Love him or hate him.
So he's also brought a whole many different generations and backgrounds to the game of golf, whereas these other guys don't bring that, don't bring multiple crowds to the game of golf to watch. I mean, they're just, you know, they're out there playing, they're grinding, and they're, you know, they're kind of vanilla, too. I mean, Tiger mixing it up, you know, cursing sometimes and, you know, telling him, oh, I didn't have my A game today, all the stuff he used to talk about. I mean, that made it a lot more interesting. You know, these guys are pretty vanilla now.
Right.
It doesn't, it's not good for TV.
Yeah, you need, like, Dustin Johnson to say, you know, there's no freaking way that I'm going to let Jason Day beat me because, you know, I don't like Australia.
Right.
It's a dumb country. The water goes backwards in the toilet, and I'm an American, and, you know, Jason Day and Adam Scott better be on the lookout this week.
He's not saying that, that's for sure. They don't say anything.
No, I know it. It's too bad. It'd be more WWF-like, you know, if these guys could get, you know, interview them together, and Day will stick his finger into Dustin's chest.
Now, have you heard any of them ever say, like Tiger used to say, you know, I don't play to play or make cuts. I just play to win.
Right.
Well, a lot of people say it, but it's more like a catch. It's just like a, you know, you expect them to say it. Everything's politically correct.
Right.
There's too much money at stake for sponsors to do anything controversial.
Right.
So,
but now, like, Tiger said that, though.
Yeah, but he was so far above everybody that he could say anything and not lose sponsors. You know, he had Nike on his side. And so, which is another interesting thing. I wonder what clubs Tiger will be playing when the Safeway Open comes around. So,
good point.
We are running out of time, guys, here tonight. But so just so everybody knows, we got a week off next Monday night. Then we return after that, after the Tour Championship, to recap it. And that'll also be our Ryder Cup preview. So that'll be an incredible episode.
Yep.
So next week, enjoy Monday Night Football. Because you're probably not watching it right now because you're all tuned in here.
Absolutely.
And
trivia question.
Oh, yeah, you need the answer to the trivia question. Let me give it to you really quick. Do you know, Brownie?
Don't know it.
Tiger Woods was 23 under in 2007, won by 8 shots over Mark Kelkovecki and Zach Johnson. So thanks, everybody, for joining us again for the GolfJ.com podcast. Connect with us online at Twitter. At the Golf J on Instagram, at the underscore Golf J on Facebook.com/Golf J. All our episodes and the best of the wide world of golf on the web can be found at golfj.com. We'll be back in 2 weeks on Monday night at 9 o'clock to talk about the conclusion of the PGA Tour season. Until then, play fall golf, hit them long and not often.
GolfJ.com.